Hi, my name is Robert. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, welcome to our Easier, Softer Way, a prescription to the joy of living. We have Pamela on the panel and Franz. Pamela is the old timer. I'm the medium timer. And you're in your 20s. He's the 2 years, right?
2 years.
Yeah.
2 years and a few days.
He's the newish timer. Pamela and I, several months ago, were talking on the phone, and I don't even know what we were talking about. It was Easier, Softer Way is what it was, and I don't know what the subject was. I don't know. Do you? I don't remember exactly. Yeah. Well, we were talking, and I said, we should do. You did? She said, we should do a workshop. and I said, well, if you want to do it, I'm in. And as soon as I said that, I was like, why do I do that? It's really interesting how I pull back from service like that. And I'm glad I just blurted out, well, I'll be part of it. Let's do it. And we decided to do it, and here we are today. So the workshop's going to go like this. We're going to each speak about our easier, softer ways in out of program and or before program and in program, and what we've gotten out of it. And then we're going to do a small exercise, and then we'll do some question and answer after that and some sharing. So we'll start with Pamela. She's going to speak of her experience, strength, and hope. Actually, no, I wanted to start with the Serenity Prayer to open this workshop. So let's do that. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. Nice. And Pamela.
Thank you, Robert. Pamela, compulsive eater. I've been in this program and abstinent for 25 years, four months and 1 day, and been maintaining an 80-pound weight loss. That was me 3 months before. Oh, that's, no, that was me. I've changed a lot over the years. That was me. 3 months before I came into program, I was in Louisiana, and we were doing a swamp tour, and the guide had these genuine Stasi, the East German intelligence people, genuine Stasi hats and jackets, because it's so cold when you're doing a swamp tour. So that's why I'm dressed like that. But that's my top weight picture. So Robert and I were talking one day, and as we do so often, talking about how grateful we are for the life that we have discovered in recovery, and how this is the softer, easier way, and you know, we said, well, that'd be a great title for a workshop, and so here we are, the easier, softer way. And for me, you know, in order to recover, I needed to find a way of life that made it easier not to eat. You know, it's as simple as that, that made it easier not to eat. And in order to do that, I needed to change my thinking. And we have so much literature. What came to mind when I was thinking about this is the turning point. And we have that referenced in the Big Book. We hear it at every meeting. Well, actually, I think it's in the, oh, that's there. We hear it at every meeting when we talk about the easier, softer way. I think it's on page 49, if I can find it. Should have this organized. And the easier, softer way. And then we talk about the turning point. We reached a turning point. And that's what the turning point is what I was thinking about in the easier, softer way. The turning point is when I realized that this was something that made my life better. It didn't make my life harder. It wasn't a straitjacket. It wasn't deprivation. In fact, one of the first things I did when I started this program is I determined that I would never, that I would eat the very best food I could possibly eat, because, and I would go to any lengths to get what I needed, because I knew that if I started to feel deprivation or deprived, I would just jump the rails, you know. So for me, the easier, softer way was following the food plan and eating when I'm allowed on the food plan. And the turning point. The turning point is was making that decision to jump in with both feet. If I kept one foot out fighting, one foot in going, I would be quite knuckling. And that was another decision. Or a thought that I had was that I did not, I'm a complete hedonist. I don't want to spend my life being miserable. I want to be happy and joyous and free, as we say. And I did not want to spend my life white knuckling on a diet. I just, you know, which is what I had always done, white knuckling on a diet. And that held no attraction for me. I didn't want to be here if I was white knuckling. So again, I needed to find a way of life that made it easier not to eat. And that's what I've found in these rooms, by working the steps and by changing and by that turning point. And after we had decided to do this, I'm writing on the daily reflections questions. And the question, or the reading on July 11th, was the turning point, a turning point. And it says, either the AA way of life becomes one of joy, or I return to the darkness and despair of compulsive eating. And that, again, is the turning point. An example of what I thought was the easier, softer way for me before I came in, and this was about a month, I think, before I came in to see how, was Easter weekend. And my husband was going to be out of town. We always had big extended family holiday dinners with my husband's family. And I loved them. It was fun. I loved those weekends. But my idea of a perfect weekend with him out of town was for me to buy as much food and booze as I could get into the house and stay in the house and eat my brains out all weekend. And I did that. Rather than being with people I love, I did that. And I ate and I ate and I ate, and I would throw up, brush my teeth, start eating again, and eat and eat and eat. And I spent the whole weekend like that. And then I told my sister-in-law I was going to be out of town, so I couldn't come to the family dinner, so I could just stay and binge. And then I talked to her the next week, and she said, "Oh, honey, did you have a good time in Palm Springs with your friend?" Which, of course, I didn't go to. And then I had to lie to her about that and say, "Oh, yes, I had a great time," you know. So that was my idea of an easier, softer way. Rather than to go to the family dinner where we all laugh and have a wonderful time, I stayed in the dark and ate and ate and ate and hated myself. And that was my idea of the easier, softer way. The turning point, I think, is so important, again, when we stop fighting. We always hear in these rooms, "I wish you the gift of desperation." And we talk about this a lot. I wish us all reaching that turning point, the point where we want to live this way of life because it's a joyful way of life. And it's easier and softer to live this way of life than to eat. So, thanks.
Hi, Robert, compulsive eater and bulimic. I have 8 years, 351 days of recommitted abstinence. I am close to another year. Maintaining 40 pounds of weight loss. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. My journey started with trying to find, unbeknownst to me, easier, softer ways when I was around 11 years old. I was going through changes which people go through from 10 to whatever, and I just felt different. So I never felt like I fit in. So I started, my disease started popping up when I was about 11. I had a great childhood. I didn't have issues like that. But when I started really thinking about who I was when I just didn't feel like I fit in. So what I started doing was pulling away from people, staying at home, which was easy to do for me because my parents always lived in the country. So after school, I would go home. I wouldn't be around people. We didn't live in a neighborhood where there were neighborhood kids all around us. I was isolated to begin with, which was perfect for when I wanted to isolate as a young growing up kid that didn't fit in. So we had animals. I'd focus on that. And then when that was done, what started happening was I would be going home and the television became my friend. That was an easier, softer way for me. Not being around people and being around a television and a fridge was my easier, softer way growing up as a kid. And that worked for a long, long time. I used to have shows and food that went with those shows, and my parents would show up and my brothers would show up because they were all active. They didn't mind being around other people. I was the one that was a little more reclusive, so I did that for a long time through my junior high and high school years. And what I learned in junior high school was how to binge and purge and how to, it's interesting, the television taught me lots of things and it taught me about bulimia. And I've shared this in meetings where I know that I was a little, I know now looking back, I was a little bit crazy when it came to food because I looked at it as a positive to try something, right? When I was watching these talk shows, Phil Donahue was my favorite talk show, and he had a lot of shows on eating disorders, and the one that really hit for me was bulimia. I thought it was a great idea. Let me try it. So that became an easier, softer way for a long time in my career before CEA Howe. All through junior high and high school and college and up into the age of 40, I was binging and purging, sometimes more than others. I knew it wasn't good, so I was trying to taper myself off of all of that, but it never worked. I always had this this crazy relationship with food. We have sugar, flour, and quantity. I have never cared about sugar or flour or anything else. It was always the bigger, the better. I always had food envy. And so that's my story about my food. And that holds true through junior high school to the age of 40. When I was, is that a minute? Wow, I talk too much on that stuff. College was crazy, a lot of binging and purging, and then it came to the age of 40 where all this stuff that I thought was easier and softer and the diets, the pills, the fen-fen, the this, the that, just wasn't working anymore. And I remember sitting in front of my big, huge mirrors in my bedroom going, I've got to start liking what I see and how I feel, and that's where this picture came into it. This picture is a few weeks from me entering CEA Howe. I had a friend that I saw grow in 1 year into this different human being that I didn't know. And I wanted what she had, and she brought me into these rooms. And I remember that phone call, and I remember the first day. And that first day was the beginning of my true easier, softer way. I have a whole bag of all of my journals with me. It's just one tote of all these journals, and the journals and the writing and the books that we have fit in one tote. And that's 12 years of recovery for me and 12 years of this easier, softer way. And it's when I pulled it all together, it seemed so small, but I was like, it's such a huge, what is in that bag is so amazing, and that's my easier, softer way. The way I felt before I was in program, the hate, the resentment, the searching, the dark rooms with food and television could and just the feelings that could fill this room and this hotel, the amount of hate and horrific times I've had in my life up into the age of 40 in this program. And it's been 12 years in this program of easier and softer. And I think that's why we love to talk about this stuff so much when we have our 15 minutes in the morning. We always get off book. And it's because we both had this thing when we came into these rooms, we were done. And we're so lucky that we were done when we walked into these rooms, because there are so many stories we hear sometimes in these rooms where we know they're not done. It's like, I want you to be done, but I know you're not done. So we're really, yeah, the turning point. We're really, that's why we talk so much, is because we love that we were done when we walked in here. And this was really our easier, softer way. So thank you.
Hello, my name is Franz. I'm a compulsive eater. I've been abstinent for 255 days plus 2 years, and this was one of my first acting headshots that I took. And when I got the pictures back, I was horrified. I was like, I can't go into acting with these pictures or looking like this, so let me put this on hold. Let me get some more training while I lose some weight. So that was that's been the theme of my life. It's like, let me wait until I lose the weight, then I'll do this, then I'll do that. I'll start dating. I'll start doing working in my profession or doing something that I want to do. When I think back, I've tried everything under the sun. I've even tried bulimia, and that lasted for me for 2 meals. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is not for me. Let me try finding another solution. But I've tried everything under the sun, and when I think back from all the money I've thrown at my issue, my weight issue, I think I've spent well over $100,000. I remember I first got my first job when I was around 15, and that's when I started paying for Weight Watchers. I paid for personal trainers, which I really couldn't afford, but I saved the money because they were going to be the answer. I paid for all these gadgets that we saw on infomercials that did not work for me. I've tried fad diets that work. They work, but they don't last. This is the longest that I've been at one weight for my entire life, and it's never happened to me before. I've been at maintenance for over a year and a half, and for me, that's unheard of. I've even thrown money at it. I've had surgery. I've had the lap band surgery to lose this weight. And even to this day, I'm still paying for this weight loss issue because the bills just keep coming. And I had a lap band surgery about 10 years ago, and I lost 40, 50 pounds, and then the weight just came back on. And I just found a way, and I was thinking maybe I should do the bypass, because the bypass is more extreme, and that one will work. I'm sure that will work for me. And then I did more research, and I realized people still gain weight with the bypass, and I'm sure that's going to be my story as well. I'm sure I'm going to gain weight because I can't do it. I can't, and nothing has worked for me. And with continuing on the whole spending money for this weight loss, I joined CHOW, and considering we have to eat so much food, I have to eat so much food because I'm 6'8". I eat a lot, which I'm grateful for. I'm super grateful for. My height is a blessing and a curse, but in this area, it's a huge blessing because I get to eat so much. And it, because of the lap band, it took me so long to eat my meal. Sometimes it would take me an hour and a half, and sometimes food would get stuck, and I would have to wait for it to go down, and sometimes it could take up to an hour before the food can go down. So because of this, 2 months ago, I had to have the lap band reverse. So I went back into the surgery room and had it removed, and that now those bills are coming in. So I'm still paying for it, which is why I'm saying I spent way, way too much money. had I found this a long time ago, I don't know if I would have gone through this. But then again, had I found this a while ago, I don't know if it would have been, if I would have been ready for it. So maybe it's a blessing that I found it when I found it, because I was very, very desperate. And am I 4 minutes?
Good. You're good.
Okay, yes. One of the things that I found easier and softer, now I'm finding it easier and softer, but before it wasn't easier and softer. When I first joined this program, I was angry. I'm like, I can't believe this is the solution. I can't believe this is what I have to do in order to be happy. And the more I did it, because I knew I didn't have an answer. I had no answer, so therefore, this is working, just go with it. The more I did it, the more I realized it's not as bad as as I thought it was. I made sure that the meetings, the way this program is designed, keeps me sane, and it also helps me stay in the program whether I want to or not, because when I see all the faces and all the recoveries in the meetings, it's inspiring to me. And one of the things I made sure of too is that I make sure that every single meal that I eat is delicious and I look forward to eating them. And it took me about a year to figure that out, but I figured it out. And now I'm trying to be a better sponsor to my sponsees, because that's what I'm getting from my sponsor. He's very knowledgeable and very wonderful. And I try to be just as good with my sponsees. And in return, I find that in whatever I'm imparting to my sponsees, I also have to adapt in my life as well. Because otherwise I wouldn't be able to give them what this program offers. So because of that, I try to become a better person. I'm now seeking therapy all the time, so which is very helpful. I am trying to live a better life. All the things that I've been putting on hold, I am now tackling in my life, which is wonderful. I'm back into the acting. All these wonderful things are coming to me, which is so bizarre, and I'm so grateful for it, and it's all because of this program. And something weird happened the other day. I work as an executive assistant for a media company, and the West Coast president sent me this text, and she said, oh, you should submit for that. And it was for a clothing company who's looking for models that are super, super tall, 6'8" or 6'6" and taller. I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll submit for it, since it's the president who said to submit for it, because if she asked me if I did, I want to tell her the truth. And then they called me, and I modeled for big and tall clothes, so who would have thought, right? So the easier, softer way for me is to do what this program is asking and not listen to my thoughts. Well, maybe if I do this, or maybe if I do that. But those maybes and maybes never worked for me in the past, so why would I think that they would work for me now? So I have to really rely on this program and stay focused on this program and not listen to what I have to think when it comes to this program, because when it comes to that, I will for sure make a bad choice, which I have in the past. So thank you for letting me share.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, in the morning we spend at least 10 minutes doing your food. I'm so jealous. Just more and more. And how many ounces? Jeez, my God. He's eating in maintenance what I used to eat out of program. He's like the hometown buffet of food for CEO. Lord. You just reminded me of that every morning. My God. I'm so resentful, because I'm not that tall. So here's the fun part of the program here. We were all given these little pill bottles with a slip of paper inside, and we wrote down what our easier, softer way could have been before program or in program, or even a fantasy one if you wanted. What do you fantasize being an easier, softer way that probably wouldn't work? So we're going to pull those out now. What I'm going to ask is, we're sitting by somebody, so we're going to partner up. two people per. So you can move around the room and find someone you don't know if you want, or you can partner with the person sitting next to you. Oh, does any? You don't necessarily need the pill bottle for this, but if you want it as a souvenir, just keep it or go get one. So what we'd like you to do is with your partner, we're going to time it. You'll have 4 minutes total, 3 minutes and a minute wrap up, and we'll let you know. And what you'll do is each person's going to share to the other person what their easier, softer journey was. Was it, or whatever you have on that paper, and you'll share that with the person next to you. And then after your 4 minutes, the other person will go. And it's just between the two of you and just getting to know each other and some of our journeys, because I think when I've heard some of these stories from people that I know in this program, it's always surprised me what they've gone through and what they've done in their career of either eating or their career of being in CEO. Because not everything has been perfect in CEA how for all of us. So it's interesting to hear those stories. So do you have something to add to that, or sure. We good? I think we can start.
Does anybody need a partner?
Oh, right. So if someone, yeah, whoever was raising hands. And then, and Brendan, if you want to partner with someone that doesn't have, did everybody get a partner?
Maggie.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, great. Okay. So everybody's partnered. I love it. So hopefully you guys learned new things about whoever you were sitting by, or even if you knew them, if you got some new thing that they used to do or are doing. Pamela's going to start off with her favorite easier, softer way. Or Franz. Let's do Franz. Let's go the other way.
Yeah, I think I talked about all of mine. Mine were surgery, personal trainers, infomercial gadgets, fad diets, pills, and the list goes on and on. And I'm sure I can't remember it. There's a whole bunch I can't remember, but those were my easier, softer ways.
So before I came into program, I had tried a lot of stuff, and my favorite easier, softer, and I wish it could be a fantasy one that I could do now, I'm sure other people have tried it, was Fen-Phen. That was my easier, softer. I loved being on Fen-Phen, and here's why. Even I was just talking to them about this while we were all talking, was if they came out with a safe version of it, I would do it. But here's the thing. Knowing what I know about See How and how I am as a human being in this program, I wouldn't leave CEA How if they came up with a pill to take away this obsession and this craziness in my head. Because for me, what I would love about it is that during my meals, I still have a little craziness. Like we were talking about, I'm sad to see the meal end. I'm excited to see the meal start. I'm very sad to see the meal end. I try really hard to eat slower. Oh, thank you. Because when I'm eating with my husband, sometimes I finish first. And then I have to sit there and watch him finish his plate, which takes a damn hour. And I'm like wanting to eat more. So that's the only reason why I would love it again, is to take away that obsession during my meals. But the person I've become in this program is the person I want to be, which is through this work, I'm just being a kinder person to myself and a kinder person to other people. And I'm not living a life of having resentments and anger and the darkness that I used to have before this program. So even though this would be a fantasy solution for me, I still wouldn't leave the program for it. I would do both. So, and that's allowed. There's no wrong answers.
Hi. Leona, can you find a seat? Can you find a seat? Hi.
Yes.
Okay, my easier software. And what was interesting about the progression we were sort of talking is that what I wrote down for my easier softer way, what I used to think was the easier softer way was never to admit when I was wrong. You know, I would just not even acknowledge it. And what I have learned is the easier softer way is that I love the freedom of the tenth step, that it is the easier softer way, how much better my life is. And as I said at the beginning, in order to recover, I needed to find a way of life that made it easier not to eat. And it's so much easier to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, than to pretend I didn't even know I had done some horrible transgression. So that's my easier, softer way. And I just want to say another easier, softer way is when we talked about doing this workshop, a few weeks ago, Robert and I were talking one morning, and Robert says, oh, I have something I really don't want to talk to you about. and he said that Alan and I had a prior commitment for this weekend, but I hadn't put on my calendar, and I'm not going to be able to do the workshop. And I had a lot of things going on in my life at that time, and I just could not handle the idea of organizing the workshop. And so I said, I can't talk right now, and I hung up. And I texted him immediately and said, I did. And I said, you understand, of course, I'm not angry at all. I just can't talk about it right now. And so we talked, and Robert said, well, I'll organize the workshop, and we'll find a third person. And then a week or so ago, I said, well, have you found a third person? And he said, yes, his name is Robert Lee. And Robert changed his plans for the weekend and kept his commitment to be here. And I think that's the easier, softer way, too. Yeah.
Thank you.
She was so angry. She was so angry. She would have held that over my head for the rest of my life. No, you know what it was? Maybe it's my control issue. It was going to be a mini vacation, but it really was Alan's friends, and I was like, you know what? Let me just do this. This is going to be more fun for me. And it'll be better for my recovery. It'll be better for what we started, because, yeah, for my morning phone calls. It'll be so nice for those phone calls. Lord. So at this point, we would love to have people come up and share what they experienced. They can ask us questions. That's all part of it, too. But really what this is about, this interaction was about to sort of pull out or see if there's something new that you've heard that reinvigorates your commitment to what an easier, softer way is for yourself. So if there's anybody that has or that wants to come up, please raise your hand. We're going to leave it up for question and answer and sharing. Hello. Come on up, Pam.
I'm Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Pam.
Compulsive eater. I have been in this program for over 20 years, and I am a full service sponsor, and I've given away 200 pounds. But I wasn't always abstinent in those 20 years. And what I have found is the easier, softer way. Not only when I walked in the rooms, I had been there less than a week, I knew I was in the right place. Like minds. But what I found is, to make it quick, that the key is to stay in the rooms no matter what, because I knew if I ever left, I'd never come back, because I'd be too embarrassed. And so I stayed. And for a lot of that time, I wasn't abstinent. I now have over 5 years, but and I've had 5 years before. So hopefully I've learned the lessons that it takes to stay abstinent, but it's keep coming. Thanks.
Thanks, Pam. Oh, Oh, okay. You got it. Yeah, come on up. Thanks, Jessica. Yeah, it's about staying for me, too. I've been in it 12 years and 8 years, going on 9 now, with Recommitted, but I never left, and that's important to hear.
Hi, I'm Jessica, compulsive overeater.
Jessica.
And I wasn't sure which workshop I was going to go to, and I thought, I keep looking for the easier, softer way. Maybe I need to go to that workshop. And I stood in the back. I did not. There was plenty of seats. I did not sit down because I still wasn't committed. I'm like, I don't know if I want to be in this one. But I'm listening, and I'm so glad I did, because what I learned is that phrase can mean a lot of different things. I have looked for an easier, softer way because I don't want to have to be here. I love all of you, but I don't want to be with you or one of you. You are my people, and part of that is the way that I self-hate, right? That I hurt myself. I don't want to have to be here, but just because I don't want it doesn't mean that it's not true and it's not real. So the easier, softer way would be for me not to be a compulsive eater. But, you know, on my little paper, I had written, you know, I tried a different food program that had a dignity of choice. My choices bring me here. It is simply how I think, right? What is that acronym? Simply how I think. Those are my thoughts. And so I don't get the dignity of choice, right? Or I'll only have homemade treats because I can't insult my mother-in-law. And then she bakes for days. And, you know, or I'll take what I like and leave the rest. Well, what I like is to not be a compulsive overeater. And so I kept trying to force it, but then I realized that the easier, softer way, this is it. Because all of the searching and all of the struggling that I did, even when I was here and still calling into the phone bridge meetings every day, every week, I was still looking for something else. And this is the easier, softer way. And I didn't have that light bulb until I sat in that chair and listened to you all share that. And I think that's really what I needed, that this, it's not that there is no easier, softer way, it's that this is the easier, softer way. And so I'm just sitting here with my mind blown right now. And I am so thankful that I chose to be here. Because when I didn't want to be here, I was on auto pay to be here. So here I am, and it's exactly where I need to be. Thank you for letting me share.
Like dignity of choice. I'm not a dignified eater at all.
Good afternoon. My name is Beth L., and I'm from Oregon. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Beth L. Hi.
Thanks, everybody. I didn't get to hear all of your presentation, and I look forward to hearing it later, if possible. But I can appreciate the idea of easier, softer way, and I struggle, too. Like, oh, I wish I could, you know, be a normal eater and be like other people. And but I came to my first 12-step food recovery program in 1997, so over 22 years ago. And so I've lived over half my life in recovery in 12-step programs, and by God's grace, I didn't have a really high weight gain or really low anorexic, which I'm sure could have gone either way. And so right now I am living the life of an easier, softer way. And when I qualify, I'm like, oh, I've, you know, how much weight did you lose? I'm like, oh, 5 to 10 pounds. and sometimes I feel ashamed, like, oh, I should have lost, you know, 100 pounds. Wouldn't my story be that much greater? But I guess I can live to tell and say I didn't need to hit such a low bottom. And yet that little disease in the back of my head is like, well, you haven't, since you didn't, you know, come in and lose a ton of weight, maybe you don't need to be here. Maybe, you know. And so that, you know, disease is doing push-up in the back of the room. And, you know, life, I'm used to about eight years of CHOW and abstinent. And so, like, this is my way of life, and I'm used to it, and I can live it, and I'm very grateful for it. And so I think the message for today, for me, is just stay here. Just don't leave. Even when that little disease, your normal body weight, and, you know, you never were at a really high body weight, and therefore, you know, just don't. I'm not going to just stay here. And that's something I need to keep reminding myself with God's help. Thank you.
Who's next? Ah. Hey, Linda.
Oh, wow. Hi. Hi, I'm Linda M. I'm a compulsive eater, not my real name. I'm Linda M. from the Phone Bridge Meetings. And not. Okay. And thank you all for being here, and this was a great topic. And my ultimate easier, softer weight was to convince myself that this is the weight I'm supposed to be. You know, I'm supposed to be 180 pounds because I'll diet and then I'll pop back up, and that's where I would land. I'd always land at 180. I'm supposed to be a size 18. That's just, some people are just like that, and then a lot of the media right now is, you know, has that discussion, and I have kind of I have opinions about that. And the thing, my biggest fantasy would be that one day I would get down to the weight that I'm supposed to be, and I'm just going to stay there. Like, it's never going to go bigger. I could go back to the way I used to eat, but I'd still be tiny, right? And when I came in to see how my weight dropped pretty drastically, and I belong to another program, and they tend to socialize around food, and so I kind of stayed away from there and did a lot of phone bridge meetings, and we have a lot of stuff to do in this program. I had also just started a full-time job, and so between that and calls and weighing and measuring, and I was busy. And so when I did go back after like 3 or 4 months to that program, it was interesting. I do a lot of LGBT meetings with that program, and the men especially would come up to me and say, "Wow, you lost a lot of weight. Are you okay?" and really but the women would come up and go, "Oh my God, you lost so much weight. What are you doing? What diet are you doing, this and that?" And I tell them no flour, no sugar. I watch my quantity. I eat 3 times a day with nothing in between. And if you're interested, you know, we can talk. And here's the website. Listen to a phone bridge meeting. And if it calls to you, yeah, we'll talk. Because for me, this is the better way to be. This is the easier, softer way. And yes, there are tasks that I need to check off every day. And thank God for them. I mean, this program and the 12 steps are, you know, I've never been clearer and more sane and more able to see when my defects come up and know how to manage them without eating or doing something self-destructive. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Who's next? Anyone want to share? I did want to talk about the last comment about how you didn't have much weight to lose. I feel like that sometimes too, because as a guy, 40 pounds, 50 pounds heavier, I fit in fine. You know, it was for me that mental obsession. So that is where we all have sort of the same, that's that same disease. You can have someone as skinny as a rail up here talking that they're a food addict. And, you know, in the past, when I first started this program, I was like, I don't know what that person's doing here. And then you hear some of the stories and some of the nightmares and some of the, it's just horrific what we do to ourselves when it comes to the mental side of this disease. For me, those were the darkest times of my life. And, you know, it's so much nicer to have an easier, softer life now. And you talk about sanity and clarity, and I just wake up with a life that I'm grateful for, and I'm actually happy after 12 years. I had that realization about 3 years ago. I didn't realize I was happy until there was a day I was walking walking down the street, and my husband was standing there, and he was like, "You look so happy." And I was like, "Oh, well," I thought that was such a strange comment, and then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what's so strange is I'm actually happy for the first time in my life, and that has not ever happened in my career as a child to the age of 40-something, wherever that happened, you know. So I think that's one of my biggest gratitudes, is that I love that I found a program, a system that is so easy, and it's so much softer than being out there. I could not imagine, like someone was saying, don't leave, right? We were saying don't leave. I couldn't imagine leaving. You know, I get slips, I understand that. But slipping and leaving, I don't understand. And I think that's because I was at the bottom of bottoms when I entered, and you've shared that you were at the bottom of bottoms when you entered, and we've actually shared that he was at the bottom of bottoms when he entered. So I think it's just so amazing for me to have that gift. And it makes me sad that some people are going to go to their grave and never have that gift, never hear about our program, never hear about any program, and struggle all their lives with weight. So do you guys want to add anything or have anything more to say?
Yeah, and that again is the genesis of this workshop, that we talk about how we wish for everybody the gift of that turning point, that this way of life is the easier, softer way. And I was thinking as I was listening just now, I go to 2 12 and 12 study meetings a week, and I have for like 24 years. It's just sort of the way it happened. And so I've read so often in the 12 and 12 where it says, first we do this because we must, then we do this because we want this way of life. And I spent a lot of years thinking, when am I going to reach the point where I do it because I want this way of life? I still am doing it because I must. And everything is a process. And now I do this because I want this way of life. And as Robert said, he's happy. I'm not always happy. although it's interesting, I had this hairdresser who was schizophrenic and became more and more and more symptomatic and didn't take medications. And one day she was doing my hair, and I said something, and she just screamed and ripped the cape off me and walked off my hair half cut and half colored. Anyway, but then over the years she would stop by my house and say, oh, I love you, I miss you so much. Anyway, she stopped by recently. It's been like, I don't know, 20 years. She stopped by recently, and she's clean and sober, and I said, are you happy? And she said to me, am I happy? You know, I have moments of joy in my life, but am I happy? I don't know. But I thought that was such a great answer. I have moments of joy in my life, but am I happy? And I think for me, being in these rooms, whether I can say I'm happy, not happy, I don't know, but whatever my baseline is, it is so much better, you know, than it ever was. So first I did this because I must, but now I do it because I want this way of life.
One of the things I mentioned when I spoke earlier is that I love coming to the meetings because you're always getting gems from people's pitches, people's shares. And somebody once pitched that one of the prayers that we say talks about trudging to the road of happy destiny. And trudging, he said, is work. It's not something that you just get. It's trudging to happiness. It is work, and it's not something that you just get. So you have to work for that happiness. And finding an easier, softer way is that work. And within that work, it does become easier and softer. But again, you still have to put in that work. And I could put in that work, or I can just be miserable and not do anything and hope for the best. So I love that I'm now coming to terms with it, and I am okay with putting in that work, because the more I stay in, the more the rewards I get, the more I realize I want this and I don't want to lose this. So I'm willing to put in the work, whether I want to or not, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So.
We still have a few minutes if someone had a share or thought they wanted to say something. Yeah, please do. Come on up. That's awesome. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I'm Elaine. I'm a compulsive eater. And so when I got this paper that said, what's your easier, softer way, I laughed because I tried. over the course of my life, everything that you can think of, because as I recall, I was a heavy child. And so I've been heavy my whole entire life, up and down, with different diets every single year. And so finally, somewhere around between 65 and 70, I decided that I needed to do something else. And my knowing that I tried all these diet plans, nothing worked, I decided that portion control was the way I had to go. And so everything that I picked up, I looked on it to see what a portion was. And actually, I was amazed at some of the portion sizes. I found out that some of the contraband, one was several portions. And I went, oh, wow, I usually have the king size. And found some other things that had the same reaction. It was like, a half a cup of cereal is a portion? I eat two cups. Anyway, you get the picture. So I was really, really conscious of portions. And so I started out over 185. That was the last time I weighed me, and I got bigger. But I lost about 30 pounds on this plan, and I was very excited. And then I got to about 150, 155, and I stopped losing weight. And it was like, well, I'm still doing portion control. There's something wrong. What's wrong with me? And then one day in my kitchen, I had quit baking because I realized I couldn't bake. And I'm an excellent cook. I have 9 kids. They all show that I'm an excellent cook. Anyway, I made contraband and I froze it and put it in the freezer and told the kids if they wanted some they could get their own out, put it on a thing and bake it and have some to eat. So my son did this. He got some out, he put them in the cooker and in the oven and cooked them, and they're sitting on the counter. And I came in and my portion control brain said, one is a portion. And the next thing I know, every single one of those that were on that plate were in me. I didn't plan on doing that. I had no control. None whatsoever. And my son came in, and I'm crying. I am so angry with myself because I've just blown my portion control plan. And he came in, and I said, how come you didn't eat more? And he looked at me, and he went, I only need one. Smack! You ate one and I ate all the rest. And I was crying. I was very upset, very angry at myself. I don't understand this. There is something wrong with me. What's wrong? And I was praying to my higher power. And I said, Heavenly Father, I don't understand. There is something wrong with me. Help me. And within the next 3 months, I found this program. It was a little bit of a journey getting there. But first of all, I learned a couple of things. First of all, I learned I had no control. Secondly, I learned that my higher power loved me enough to find me a program that helped me. And I found out that I was a compulsive eater. I didn't know it. I had no idea that that's what my problem was. And suddenly, I lost the weight that I needed to lose. And for the first time in my entire life, I wasn't big boned. Like I thought I was. And I came to a size that I haven't been since probably before I was in junior high. Wow. Seriously. I was amazed. And I've been amazed with this program. And it continues to amaze me. And I'm so glad to have it. I go to meetings. I understand. There's no other way for me. I've tried everything, guarantee. Even tried the cabbage diet, and I don't know how many of you tried that one, but it was, I lost weight, thank you. But yeah, and when I lost the cabbage, I gained it all back. Don't like cabbage. Anyway, so that's my story, and I'm so grateful to have found this program. Grateful to now have been in the program for over 7 years, and I've maintained my weight nearly all of that. For the first time in my whole life, and I am 77 and grateful. Thank you.
Yeah, Hi, everybody. I'm Rhonda, and a compulsive eater.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Rhonda.
I'm grateful to be here. Thanks for the amazing workshop. And I too was looking for an easier, softer way. And my solution has been in the rooms of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous. How? And I'm so very grateful for this life experience. I like we all have tried a zillion things before we get here. And the panel talked about the turning point. And the turning point for me was when I really realized that I couldn't do it on my own. And then when I went to that first meeting of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous and everybody stood up as a sponsor, and it gave me that glimmer of hope that just maybe me, who couldn't hardly stand up at the table, could get this thing. You know, so that's the miracle that we find when we come to the rooms. We get that little glimmer of hope, and that glimmer of hope really becomes the easier, softer way. So thanks for letting me share.
All right, we're coming to the end, so we're going to do a close. What we're going to do is Pamela's going to lead us in the third step prayer. I kept telling her, all right, you're going to do the seventh step prayer, which I don't know. But apparently there is a seventh step.
We could do it.
But she loves the third step, so let's do it. She's going to lead it. Yeah, we'll stay seated and do it at our seats. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
God, I offer myself to thee,
to build with me and do with me as thou wilt.
Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may get into your will. Take away my I don't hear you.
That's what I'm working on. I have some of it. I just wanted to thank all of you for coming. That was a lot of fun for us. Just from a small conversation, all of this happened, and to hear some of the shares were pretty amazing. So it always amazes me to be in this program and in your presence. So thank you, and have a great convention. All right.